If you've been with us over recent weeks, you know we've been looking at some of the great I am sayings from John's Gospel. And we looked at the one that comes in the first part of John 10 last week. And this week we're going to continue from where we left off. And David's going to come and read the passage for us from John chapter 10 and from verse 11. John 10 and verse 11. Thanks, David.
The reading is from John 10, beginning to read at verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life, only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. The Jews who heard these words were again divided. Many of them said, "He's demon-possessed and raving mad. Why listen to him?" But others said, "These are not the sayings of a man possessed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind?" Then came the festival of dedication at Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was in the temple courts, walking in Solomon's colonnade. The Jews who were there gathered round him, saying, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly." Jesus answered, "I told you, but you do not believe. The works I do in my Father's name testify about me, but you do not believe, because you are not my sheep. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one."
So there is, of course, a direct link between the theme we're looking at this week and the theme we looked at last week, that Mike very carefully didn't encroach on my bit of John chapter 10. Now, the one who is the gate, that was the theme last week, for the sheep, becomes the shepherd of the sheep. Jesus, who opens the way for us into the presence of God, into the kingdom of God, is the one who now watches over us and keeps us after we've taken that step of faith to enter in. The one who brings us in, leads us on. Our Savior becomes our keeper, our provider, our protector. Paul describes that kind of thought theologically in Romans there, when he talks about we having been justified by faith, that's the way in. We have now peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have gained access that way in into this grace in which we now stand. We are saved by grace, and now we live by grace. Saving grace becomes sustaining grace for us day to day. He who began a good work will bring it to completion. He will safely lead us home, as we just sung. Jesus, the good shepherd. Now, there's a rich Old Testament background to all of this. 23rd Psalm we're familiar with. But it's not the only place that gets mentioned. Here's a couple of other examples in the Psalms. "We are your people, the sheep of your flock." Psalm 79, verse 13. Or again, Psalm 95, verse 7. "He is our God, And we are the people he takes care of, the sheep he tends. And it's not just, of course, in the Psalms. It's in loads of other places as well. Particularly, there's this lovely verse in Isaiah 40, remember. It's a verse that's hard to read without bursting into song. So I'm going to contain myself. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. You know the one, don't you? He shall feed his flock in his arm and carry them in his bosom and shall gently lead those that are with young. God is the shepherd of his people. He leads them, he cares for them, he provides for them, he protects them. But there is actually a darker shade in the background as well. The leaders, the rulers of Israel, are often described as the shepherds of the people. But in pretty much every reference we have to them in the Old Testament, they're not doing the job very well. There's negative references. Here's, again, just a few examples. Jeremiah 10, verse 21. The shepherds, that is the leaders, are senseless and do not inquire of the Lord, so they do not prosper, and all their flock is scattered. Jeremiah 23, verse 1. Woe to the shepherds who are destroying and scattering the sheep of my pasture, declares the Lord. Again, chapter 50, verse 6. My people have been lost sheep. Their shepherds have led them astray and caused them to roam in the mountains. They wandered over the mountain and hill and forgot their own resting place. And there's a very powerful passage in Ezekiel 34. I'll just read you a little bit of it. There's quite a chunk of it here about how the shepherds have not been doing their job properly. The word of the Lord came to me, son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Woe to you, shepherds of Israel, who only take care of yourselves. Should not shepherds take care of the flock? You eat the curds, clothe yourselves with the wool, and slaughter the choice animals, but you do not take care of the flock. You have not strengthened the weak and healed those who are ill or bound up or injured. You have not brought back the strays and searched for the lost and so on. You have ruled them harshly and brutally. And so it goes on. And it goes on to say, so I'm going to scatter you and then I'm going to come myself as the shepherd. For this is what the sovereign Lord said. I myself will search for my sheep and look after them. As the shepherds look after the scattered flock when they are with them, so I will look after my sheep. That's the promise, that one day God will come himself to care for and look after his sheep. He's going to step in. And this, of course, is what he's now done in Jesus. He is the one who is what the shepherd is meant to be. The Messiah, the promised one, as the end of that passage was saying about it. The good shepherd. I don't know if you ever wonder, why did he say then good? Because there were so many bad shepherds. Those who were not doing their jobs properly. Because he has love and concern for his sheep. I'm going to notice a couple of aspects about that care and concern today. Firstly, I want you to note, it is personal. You know, we often see sheep in fields around us, don't we? There used to be some over the road from us until they built houses on the field. But you very rarely do you actually see the shepherd with them, do you? In fact, one of the sheep fell over one day and I had to contact the farmer and say, one of your sheep's fallen over. I wasn't going to go and pick it up. I'm not really knowing what to do. But you know, you have to pick up sheep if they fall over because they can't pick themselves up. And so he said, okay, the farmer's on his way. He'll correct the sheep, put it back on its feet again. They just graze more or less safely in fields, don't they? Surrounded by fences and hedges and so on. It wasn't like that in Israel. You would virtually never see a flock of sheep without a shepherd. He was there to protect them, to watch over them. And his care is very personal. Earlier in the chapter, we didn't read this, we read this last week, verses 2 and 3. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. Now, that picture is of the night time when they would gather the flocks from the village into a safe place, into a sheepfold. And there might be two, three more flocks, all in this one sheepfold. In the morning, you wonder, how does the shepherd work out one sheep? And how do the sheep know? The shepherd calls them. And the shepherd, as he calls them, those are his sheep, recognize, respond to his voice. The other sheep take no notice. This shepherd calls us by name. You see it in the Gospels sometimes, don't you? Jesus comes into Jericho. There's Zacchaeus, the little, climbs his tree. Zacchaeus, he calls him by name. Or there's that lovely encounter after the resurrection in the garden. You remember Mary's there, brokenhearted and so on, weeping. She doesn't realize it's him. She thinks it's the gardener until he says something. Mary. He says her name. And her eyes are opened. Master, she responds. Names are important, aren't they? Names are special. We all have several names, in fact, don't we? We're known by different versions of our name. My formal name, of course, is David, or Mr. Hewitt, or the Reverend Hewitt sometimes. The guy who calls me from the garage, he always calls me Reverend. He says, "Morning, Reverend." I always think I'm something out of Dad's Army, you know, in that sense, when he calls me that. Have you ever wondered by which name God knows you? When I was working with the Evangelical Alliance, the Kansas City Prophets were in town. Some of you may remember them. They were a group with powerful prophetic insights, and I was sent along to suss them out, as well. Were they genuine? Were they real? Were they a real thing? Should we endorse their ministry? Incidentally, I came to the conclusion, by the way, that I thought they were genuine but not infallible. We tend to think those who have a prophetic gift, if they're a genuine prophet, are always right. And if they're not, then they're always wrong. Paul tells us we prophesy in part. So we never get it all right all the time. That's why we need discernment. And one of the key figures in that group was a man called Paul Cain. Now, Paul Cain was staying with our team leader at the time, Clive Calver. I'd never met Paul Cain. He'd never met me. He didn't know me. I had heard him speak. But he said to Clive one morning, "I've got a word for one of your team." And he said, "Oh, yeah? Nice. Yeah, Dave," he said. And Clive always called me David. So it took him a moment for the penny to drop. But then God gave Paul Cain the rest of my name. Hewitt, something like that. And the penny dropped. It was a word for me. And he passed on this word, which I'm still not sure exactly what it meant, because his words tended to be about like cryptic crossword clues. You know, he had to try and work them out. But God wanted to speak to me, not as the Reverend or Mr. or David, but as Dave. The Good Shepherd knows you by the name your family knows you by. Your friends know you by. Those closest to you know you by. His call is personal. His care is personal for you. But secondly, notice, of course, it's sacrificial. That's a key factor here in these verses, isn't it? The thing about, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand doesn't. Usually the shepherd actually owned the flock. Or it was a family business, and maybe the father or the son owned the flock, and they would look after the flock together. But sometimes they would engage a hired hand in at a daily rate to look after the sheep for them. For such a person, it was just a job, a way of earning some money. He had no real interest in or particular or personal concern for the sheep of that flock. So when danger came, he would run. He was not going to risk his life for this random bunch of sheep. Jesus speaks of the wolf coming here. At that time in Palestine, actually, there were still leopards and panthers and lions as well. If you read some of David's experience as a shepherd before he became king, he talks there about fighting off lions and bears to protect his flock. There were robbers, sheep stealers as well. There are accounts of shepherds actually giving their lives in order to protect their sheep. I was reading about a more modern example of that. In 2012, a gunman burst into a primary school in the States and a teacher called Victoria Soto, aged just 26, ushered her children into safety, and she used her body to protect them. And she was found shot dead over the children that she was caring for, giving her life for those in her care. And that's the pattern here, isn't it? The Good Shepherd prepared to lay down his life for us. The wording is significant there. Jesus wasn't killed. He didn't lose his life. He gave his life. It was a voluntary thing. No one takes my life from me, says verse 18 here. I lay it down of my own accord. The New Testament letters pick up the same thought. Galatians 2:20. The Son of God loved me and gave himself for me. God did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all. It's that same expression. The shepherd, you see, was entirely responsible for his flock. If a sheep was sick, he tended it. If a sheep strayed, he would find it. If a sheep was in danger, he would do everything to protect it, even at the cost of his own life. Now, we have a rather romantic view of what it must be like to be a shepherd, don't we? I think it comes from Christmas cards, don't we? We see them sitting around a cozy campfire on a nice evening and so on. Starlit evening, a gentle pastoral scene. A shepherd's life was hard and dangerous and exhausting. Sleepless nights, anxious days, constant vigilance. The shepherd would need infinite patience with the foolish wanderings of his flock. It was not a task for the faint-hearted. It was demanding, and it was often thoroughly unpleasant and often very costly. This good shepherd cares for us in that kind of way. Sacrificial way. He promises us identity. We are his sheep, verse 27. And security. No one will ever pluck us from his hand because he is prepared to lay down his life for us. His love for us, his care for us is personal. It is sacrificial. But that's two things. There are two ways in which we should respond to that, it says here in this passage. Verse 27 particularly, it talks about my sheep listen to my voice, I know them and they follow me. Our responsibility, firstly, to listen to him. So many voices clamour to be listened to, don't they? To go this way, to live this way, to follow this lifestyle. There are still false shepherds out there, aren't there? Corrupt leaders in society and sadly sometimes even in the church. Those who are in it for what they can get out of it. Those who cover up their greed and exploitation by being ministers or whatever. There was an American TV evangelist who told viewers one day that God had told him he needed a fourth private jet. He set up an appeal for $54 million that he would need. We've seen a number of high-profile abuses of power recently, sadly. Thankfully, of course, there are many, many good and gifted and faithful men and women in church leadership. Not perfect, because there's only one perfect shepherd. But people of integrity and sacrificial service. Listen to him. Look for the real thing. Listen to the good shepherd. Discern his voice in all things. But secondly, follow him. That's, of course, the basic call of discipleship, isn't it? Come and follow me. Not a set of rules, not a system of belief, but a person. Follow me. Our faith is about a relationship with him. Not certain religious practices, although they have their place, of course, but living every day with him. Pasture, of course, in that part of the world is scanty at times, and wells were very few in Israel. So the sheep were constantly looking for new pastures, constantly on the move. Sometimes the shepherd would need to take his sheep through the dark valley, as in Psalm 23. But the shepherd knew where to find that fresh pasture. In the winter, there might be snow on the ground. The shepherd must find food, or his sheep would perish. He will lead his sheep like a shepherd. But their task is to follow. There's one other little thing that perhaps might be worth noticing too. In verse 16, you remember, he talks about, I have other sheep that are not of this fold. People have wondered, who did Jesus have in mind? Sheep that look a bit different, that are a bit different. Surely, of course, in the context here, he's speaking to the Jewish faith, those of the Jewish faith, and he's saying that Gentiles will be welcomed in to his kingdom as well, in through the gospel. Jesus' vision includes men and women of every tribe and nation, and his church is the one flock, just one shepherd. In Christ, there is neither Jew nor Gentile, slave nor free, male nor female. You are all one in Christ Jesus. So we have this third task, to welcome his other sheep. Those who are different from us. Those who worship perhaps in a slightly different way to us. Those who have different forms of ministry or church leadership. Those who call their leaders different titles or whatever. God's love is not an exclusive one, but an inclusive one. Yes, there's only one way in. There's only one shepherd. It doesn't say Jesus is like a shepherd. It doesn't say Jesus is a good shepherd. He is the good shepherd. He is the way, the truth, the life, as we'll see in a week or two's time. There is no other. But having found that way, we must be ready to welcome all those who trust in him, even if they express their faith in slightly different ways than we do. Jesus is the good shepherd. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms. He carries them close to his heart. Our task is to listen to him and to follow him. Forgive us, Lord, that so often we're a bit like those sheep who wander off and sometimes think we know better than the shepherd. Like some of the sheep in that picture there just went away again, not realizing that in you is our hope, our comfort and our joy. Help us to hear your voice and to respond to that voice as quickly as we can, to come and to eat and to rest, to find life and blessing. Thank you, Father, that Jesus is the good shepherd. The good shepherd who seeks out that one sheep that gets lost. The good shepherd who is prepared to lay down his life for his sheep. Help us to listen well and to follow closely to the voice of our Master. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.